Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Please stand with us and worship.
Your heart and glorify.
Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Ephesians 1:7-8.
Is what happens when I don't get
in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all to Him I Good morning, everyone. God bless each and every one of you today and every day. It is great to be with you today. Whether you are here in person, whether you are watching online on either Facebook or on YouTube, Living Like Christ 2023, or if you're even listening on KCFJ 570 AM, I welcome you all to our service. For those who are listening, I am looking forward to meeting you when you come into our service. There's a lot of things that I have come to understand when it comes to the scriptures. Have you ever wondered why Jesus answered questions the way that he did? In order to fully understand the why of those answers, we have to understand certain things, the context of the questions, so to speak. One of the things that I have come to understand is that to fully appreciate the teachings of Jesus, I have to learn the Jewish culture of that time period. The first thing that I learned about was the Torah. Now, the Torah is their foundational teaching, their Bible, so to speak. The Torah consists of the first five books of our Bible. The Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books of the scriptures are the Pentateuch. Now, how do these books relate to the Jewish culture of the first century? The Torah is the designing fabric of the Jewish people and their religion. The word Torah is literally defined as law or instruction. The Torah is the founding history of not just humanity, but also the Israelites. It is the rules and the laws that God gave to Moses. Moses is credited with the authorship of the Torah. Within the Torah are teachings and prayers. One of those prayers is called Shema. Or what exactly is Shema? It is a prayer that affirms that there is only one God and that there is no comparison between us, meaning humanity, and God. It is a very important prayer in the Jewish culture. The Shema is recited at least twice per day. It is recited in the morning when they first wake up. It is also recited at bedtime. It is also recited during Shabbat, the weekly Sabbath, along with other holidays. This prayer is so important that it is even part of deathbed confessions. That is the importance of Shema. Even though we are not members of the Jewish or Israelite communities, we have a copy of the Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. On one particular day, Jesus was teaching. A scribe came to trick him with a question. Now, first, let me say that a scribe is the person in the temple who kept the Torah. And as the pages of the Torah was withering away and getting worn out, the scribe had to rewrite those pages of the Torah. So the scribe knew word for word what the Torah said. They had it that memorized. This particular scribe was sent to ask Jesus a scriptural question. Let's see what that is. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 32. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, meaning Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That was a question that was designed to trap Jesus. And he answered that by reciting the Shema, except for one detail. Jesus made a very minor change in the Shema at that moment. But that minor change teaches us something very major to learn. Did you notice that change? The title of this message is The Mind. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Jesus did not misquote the Shema. He was very intentional in everything that he said, especially when answering questions from his accuser. No one in that hostile environment argued with the words of Jesus. The scribe who asked that particular question followed up saying this in verse 32. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he." But he missed the point of what Jesus was saying. Now, the Hebrew word for heart is labab. The heart means everything that you felt or that you thought. In other words, your emotions is connected to your heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia, which simply means what you feel. Again, we're looking at emotions. It focuses on our feelings and the emotions that rise up from those feelings. But in Jesus' answer, he added the word dianoia. He added the mind. What does it mean to love God with your mind? We get an idea of that in today's passage. Now, I want you to notice the phrases in this passage that have to do with using our mind. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating, in other words, proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Most Jews had already written off Jesus as the Messiah because they didn't expect the Messiah to have to suffer in the ways that he did. Paul probably uses passages like Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22 to argue that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. Most of the Jews would not listen to even their own scriptures because it didn't match with their traditions, the traditions that they learned while growing up. Because of this, they missed the truth. They missed the mark. Many Greeks accepted what Paul was saying, but it made sense to the Greeks because they were obsessed with wisdom and thought and logic. Verse number 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, are you seeing the contrast here? Paul and Silas are rationally arguing their point. Those that oppose them, though, are irrationally lashing out. They started a riot. Verse number 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Look at that part again in verse 6. "These who have turned the world upside down." I'm going to just say, sign me up for that job. That is what we're supposed to be doing. That is what God has called us to do. We are not to conform to the world, but we are to do what? Turn the world upside down. We are to show the world that there is a better way to live that goes against everything that they were taught, everything that the world lives by, and even everything that the world worships. Verse number 7, Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. You may be seated. According to tradition, this is the end of Jason's life. Jason dies at the hands of this persecution. Ironically, today's world, our world, is currently in a time of persecution. We just finished an election. During that time, we witnessed persecution for one belief against another. Along with that, the church itself is always in a state of persecution. And in the midst of that persecution, we see too many people responding with their hearts. When it comes down to it, as the church, we need to start using our minds. Jesus said that we are to love God with not just our hearts, but also with our minds. What does that mean? We have to be the ones to respond with reason, with peace, and with love in the middle of the chaos. As a logical thinker, loving God in my mind allows me to be able to use logic and reasoning. If we followed the Shema and used only our hearts, then we are allowing our emotions to bring us into conversations about God. Now, don't get me wrong here. We are most definitely supposed to use our emotions when it comes to God or even witnessing about Jesus. But having an emotional discussion is going to bring turmoil. It's going to bring divisiveness. And it's definitely going to bring disagreements. When we are involved in using logic of our minds, and we bring that logic into discussions, then we are utilizing all of our resources to have discussions instead of disagreements. That should be us, no matter whatever the subject that the world is divided about. We have to use our minds and be logical. Throughout my time here, I have spoken about my mentor, Dr. Dale Garland. He found himself accidentally on the wrong end of a situation that was led by the heart. On May 31st, 2020, Dale had gone with several other pastors to a Black Lives Matter protest at the Hemet Valley Mall in Hemet, California. They went to this protest because they emotionally felt that the church needed to have a voice at this protest. Their focus was to speak peace and to speak love in the midst of hate. Sounds like a great idea. The problem is that turned into pandemonium. What actually happened was that that protest turned into a race riot, which turned into violence, that turned into looting. Now, the following day, the pastors got together, they used logic and they used reasoning, and they called for a multiracial prayer meeting in the middle of the parking lot of that same mall. It was at that moment, at that point, that they were demonstrating God's peace, love, and power at work in that city. A question for today is, what does God call us to do? What happens when we want to voice our opinion? In today's world, people want to silence opinions. But what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to voice it. We are all members of this society. We have a voice to be heard. If it's an election like we just had, by all means, allow your voice to be heard through your vote. Just use your mind and your heart and always vote in favor and according to the scriptures. The Bible tells us to be holy. Well, the word holy means to be set apart. We are always to focus on reason, gentleness, and kindness. See, Christianity is not just faith. Christianity is a thinking faith. Here are four questions that have to always be considered for our faith. Number one, what does this cost me? What does being a Christian actually going to cost? Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 33, Jesus says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus is being very clear here. To be a Christian, to be a Christ-like follower of Jesus, is going to cost you everything in this life for the greater purpose of the kingdom of God. We have to fully abandon our lives. Everything that we stood for in this world, everything that we have ever desired, everything that we set our minds to accomplish for ourselves has to be wiped away. We have to also consider the centers of our lives. As a sailor, I was taught how to navigate at night without using any computers or guidance equipment on board that ship. I was taught how to navigate by the stars using a sextant. One of the best ways to navigate using stars is to find the Polaris star. Now, in case you don't know, the Polaris star is also known as the North Star. It will always guide you to the north. Finding the North Star is focusing on it. It allows you to make your course corrections. What is the North Star of your life? What do you use to make course corrections in your life? For me, it's the gospel of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost?" If a person is not loving God with their mind, are they able to fully become a true follower and disciple of Jesus? Becoming a Christian and being a full, all-in follower of Christ is not for the faint of hearts. It is for the strongest of minds. What is the next thing that we have to consider? What does this mean for me today? Philippians 3, 8 through 11. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We are called to be holy because God is holy. We have to be fully dedicated to God for his purposes. It is not enough to follow God with our hearts. It is not enough to follow with our souls or even with our strength. That is not enough. It takes every fiber of our being to follow God. It takes everything that we have to follow what he wants us to do, what he needs for us to accomplish, because there's things that has to be done. But we have to also remember those things cannot be done based on our scheduling, based on what we want at those moments, because all of this is according to his schedule, according to his desire, his plans. There's a lot of things that I want to accomplish in the name of Jesus for his ministry right now. God called me to shepherd this ministry, to care for this ministry, and to do his will for this ministry. And I want to do it all, and I want to do it now. If I was in this ministry through my heart alone, I would not be doing the things according to his will. If I want to do things on my schedule of when I think they need to be done, I'm not following his will, because I wouldn't have the reasoning involved to know anything about his will if I'm following just my heart. My heart says I have a group of stuff in my office that needs to get done for this ministry. My mind says, not yet. Patience is needed in the ministry. A person can only have patience by using the mind. We need to take ourselves out of the equation and focus solely on what we need to learn in order for us to be a proper witness for Jesus. Now, here is the final consideration. How am I living set apart? What does set apartness look like? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be the only voice of calmness in calamity. Here's a phrase that we have all heard. We have to be the voice of reason in a world full of chaos. In conclusion, in today's world, we have to live in the midst of all of this chaos. We have to participate as members of this world through our citizenship of this sovereign nation. Our focus in our lives has to be for Jesus and his gospel. We can't use our minds to go against God's word. We have to use it for the growth of the kingdom. In order to fully become a true Christian, a true Christ-like child of God, we have to fully trust in Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we choose not to use the mind to love God, then we are only loving God with 75% of who we are. That is not what Jesus taught us to do. Now I'm going to leave you with a question. Are you going to be 100% all in? Or are you going to only give God 75% in return for him giving 100% of himself for you? So the question is, what percentage of love are you giving God? Think about it. If you're here today and you're having trouble with releasing your mind to Jesus, come forward. Let's pray at the cross. Let's give yourself up to God fully. Accept Jesus as your Savior today. Let's bring 2025 of your life with a new life in this new year. A life that lives solely for God through Jesus with the help of their Holy Spirit. Today is the day to begin this new year with a new you. If you are here today and you have accepted Jesus in your life as your Savior, but you don't know how to fully submit to Him, to love God with all of your mind, come forward. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you how to let go of yourself and to focus your mind on Jesus and on God. There's no shame in coming forward. There's only love. It doesn't matter how long you've been a child of God. There's something absolutely special and wonderful about being at His altar, giving yourself to Him in prayer. I ask that you come forward during our final music after the Lord's Supper. If I could have the deacons come forward. Dwight, can you pray for the bread, please?
Lord, as we take this bread, Lord, help us just to feel in our hearts and our minds and our souls what you did for us, Lord, when you gave this bread to your disciples, Lord, when you hung on the cross. Lord, help us to just feel that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Larry, can you pray for the cup?
Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for the blood that was spilled for our sins, Father. Lord, help us with this time to remember the sacrifices that were given that day and on Calvary, Father. Lord, be with us and help us to focus on you during this time. Bless it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. At this time, as the elements are being passed around, prepare yourself to receive them. If you're not prepared to receive them, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, do not take the elements. Do not participate just because you feel like you need to show yourself off in front of the group. It is a sin to take the elements if you are not prepared with God. So please prepare yourself. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to us. We thank you for allowing him to come here and to teach us what we need to learn in order to be true children of you, to be your children. Lord, we ask that you guide us through your Holy Spirit. You show us how to be better than we were yesterday. Lord, guide us and protect us. Keep us out of the harm's way of what the chaotic world brings. Open up the doors and allow us to be able to share your Son. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for giving us this free gift of salvation. And Lord, we ask that you keep us each and every day. In your name, amen. Before we play our final song, I would like to call Brother Larry up front. For the last 8 months?
Been a while.
Yeah. Come on down here. No need to tower over me. For the last 8 months, I have been working very closely with Larry and teaching him how to be a deacon for this church. I have felt that the Lord has been calling him into the deaconship, and I approached him with it, and we started learning, going through the learning process. On December 13th, there was an ordination council that was formed, and I would like to read to you the findings of that council. On December 13th, 2024, an ordination council of pastors from our Southern Baptist Association interviewed Larry Floyd. He was questioned in regards to biblical theology, ministry, and practices of the role of deacon. It is in our humbled opinion that we would make a recommendation to Alturas Baptist Church to ordain Larry Floyd as a deacon in service of the gospel ministry at ABC. The ordination council consisted of myself, Pastor Peter Kellum, Pastor Matt Rohrbach, Pastor Dennis Fowler, and Pastor Jay Ballard, who is our director of missions for Feather River Baptist Association. He has exuded the qualifications, and I would like to ask if anyone would like to bring a motion to vote him in as our next deacon.
I so move.
Second. Thank you, John. All in favor of ordaining Larry as our next deacon, say amen.
Amen.
Anyone opposed? Let it be known. Motion has passed. We will figure out the date to have his ordination ceremony, and we look forward to that day. And thank you all very much for assisting in this. All right, now, y'all get back up there. All right. Brothers and sisters, you know, it's very moving for me when I see advancements in the ministry. It's very moving when I see God's hand working in real time. It is, I've said this countless times. It has been an absolute honor and a privilege to be here with you all. It is an honor and a privilege to see the growth of not just ourselves, but the people around us. 2025 is bringing a new year to us, and that new year is also a new focus. That vision that the Lord has placed upon me is to focus on the community around us. We are now, starting this year, going to be hyper-focused on this community, on the harvest field that we have been given. So I look forward to this next year, and I look forward to doing it with all y'all. If you're in need today of anything, come forward. Let's pray to God to supply those needs, to provide.
2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Close us in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this glorious day. We honor and we praise you, Father, for all your many blessings. for us, even though he is so unworthy of him. Please be with us, lead us and guide us through the upcoming week. Be with those that weren't here today due to illness or traveling, Father. Heal the sick. Bring those that are traveling back to us, Father. Bless everyone here and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I would like to leave you with this. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week and a very happy new year.